I'm going to speak to you today on this subject, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Now, I could select several scriptures, but I'm going to select one over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, just one phrase. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." And he, speaking of Christ, our Lord, he is the head of the body, the church. Now, there are those who see the church as local only. They call it a local New Testament church. And they believe this. This is the definition which they give. They believe the church is a local assembly, a local assembly of believers called out by the Holy Spirit. Now, that definition is certainly in keeping with the Scriptures. For the word church is often used in the Word of God referring to a local assembly of believers called out by the Holy Spirit, a church in a given location, like the church at Galatia, the church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi. Those were local, independent churches, assemblies of called out believers. In Matthew 18, when the Lord was telling the disciples how to settle difficulties and divisions among brethren, he said, "You go to a man who is offended or offended with you, and if he will not hear you, then take two or three witnesses. And if he will not hear the witnesses," he says, "then tell it to the church." And that's got to be a local church. Tell it to the church. Tell it to the assembly of believers. Tell it to the brethren in the local church. And then in Acts 14, 23, it says they ordained elders in every church. There are several churches now. They ordained elders in every church. There were many churches. But now most believers and most competent writers and preachers of the past see the church, the New Testament church or the church, as both local and universal. In other words, we've talked about the local assembly of believers called out by the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ or professors of faith in Christ. But this great universal church of which the Scripture speaks is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's made up of all believers, of all believers, of all believers, of all generations, of all tribes, kindred, nations, tongues under heaven, of all believers. You say, well, when could such a church be assembled? It's assembled at the feet of Christ, our Lord, always assembled at His feet. It's assembled now at His feet. And believers from the Old Testament, Abraham's in this church, Moses is in this church, Abel's in this church, David's in this church, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, all of these are in this church. Believers, Luther, Whitfield, Spurgeon, Calvin, these men are in this church. Some are in heaven, some are on earth, some are from one part of the world, some are from another part. But all nations and people of the redeemed of Christ make up the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to these scriptures. Matthew 16, 18 says, "I will build my church." The Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church." He's not talking about the 13th Street Baptist Church or the church down in Danville, Kentucky, or the church up in Cincinnati or Louisville or Charleston. He's saying, "I will build my church, my true church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In Hebrews 2, verse 12, Christ said this, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church." I'll declare the name of God in the midst of the church to my brethren, and I will sing of thee. In Hebrews 12, 23, listen, the church of the firstborn, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And then Ephesians 5, 25, it tells us here that Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the church. He sanctifies and cleanses the church. He presents it to Himself, a glorious church. And it tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, this church has no unbelievers in it. This church has no tares. This church has no hypocrites. This church has no false professors. A local assembly of believers in a given location. They have those in that organization or that assembly who do not know Christ. That's obvious. Our Lord Jesus Christ had 12 disciples, and one of them didn't know Him. And then the Apostle Paul talked about Demas hath forsaken me, and Alexander did me much evil, and Phygellus and Hermogenes have made shipwreck of the faith. And he talks about these people who departed. John said they went out from us, but they never were of us. But they were church members. They were church members. But they weren't members of that true church, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church of God, whose names are written in heaven. The old Scottish preacher, Robert Murray McShane, is one of my favorite preachers and writers of the past. He died when he was only 29 years of age, but he left a great impact with his writings and with his messages. He said this, "The church, which is the object of God's love, is all people of all ages who are chosen of God, awakened by the Holy Spirit, justified by the blood of Christ, called and sanctified, and already risen with Christ, seated with Christ, and glorified in Christ. And this church is made up of every person who is saved and who will finally be saved, and is made up of every person who will sit down to the marriage supper of the Lamb and be conformed perfectly to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the great Bishop Ryle, who's worthy to be read, had a sermon on the universal church, the church of our Lord, the true church. It's one of the greatest messages ever preached. And he shows how that this church is made up of believers, every one of the elect, every one of the sheep of Christ, every one of the brethren. And in that church, there are none who know not the Lord. Charles Spurgeon, he's the favorite of most people in our day. Most preachers in our day read Spurgeon. Men of every denomination read Charles Spurgeon. He's admired. He's respected. He's well-read. He was the great preacher of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, for 38 years. He died in 1892 at the age of 58. But Charles Spurgeon wrote this about the church. He said, "The church is the assembly of those whose names are written in heaven." Now, as I said to you, you say, well, when does it assemble? It's assembled in the mind and purpose of God. It was assembled in the mind and purpose of God before the world began. It's assembled at the feet of Christ the Lord. With God, there's no time. We're time creatures. We're time conscious. But with God, everything's in the everlasting present. Everything's now. Always has been. And the church is the assembly of those whose names are written in heaven. The aggregate of all believers make up the church, which Christ both redeemed with His most precious blood. This is Spurgeon speaking. And of which He is the sole and only head. Now, part of that church is in heaven, triumphant. And part of that church is on the earth, militant. But these differences of places make no division as to the unity of that church. I have a son who's in glory. I have a son who lives in Ashland. I have a son who lives in Tennessee. But they're still my sons. We're one family. When my son died, he didn't cease to be my son. When my son moved to Tennessee, he didn't cease to be my son. So it doesn't matter where Christ's sheep are. It doesn't matter where believers are. They're His sheep. They're in Him. And their unity is not divided. There is but one church, Mr. Spurgeon continued, only one church. It's above and beneath. And time creates no separation. Place creates no separation. The church is always one because they're one in Christ. Can Christ be divided? Then all who are in church, in Christ, are in the church. It does not matter where they are. It does not matter what time or generation in which they might have lived. They're in Christ. And that brings me to my subject. Christ is the head of the church. That's what it says here. Let me read it to you in several places now. Ephesians 1:22, the Father, the Heavenly Father, hath put all things under His feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Christ is the head of the body, which is his church. The Father gave him that distinction. The Father gave him that position. And then Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's scriptural. Marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. I know we cooperate, we live in love and affection and unity, but the husband's head of the house. That's what the Word of God says. He told Eve when they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, he said, now you shall be in subjection to your husband, and he shall have the rule over you. And as the man is the head of the woman, Christ is the head of the church. That's what he says. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the Savior of the body. In Colossians 1:18, and he's the head of the body, the church. Now, I've got about 7 or 8 points, and I'm hopeful that I'll be able to get all of them into this message. And I want you to listen carefully as I speak to you now on Christ, the head of the church. What does it mean? Well, first of all, Christ as the head of the church, every believer, every sheep, every child of God, Christ as the head of the church represents the whole body. You ever heard somebody say, well, they're counting heads, counting heads. What does that mean, they're counting heads? Well, they're counting people. The whole person is represented by the head. We count heads, you know. Well, the body goes with the head, you know. The head is the whole person. And so now watch this. So this thing of headship, the whole human race was represented by one head, headship, and that's Adam. Now that's what the Word of God says. I'm not just telling you something I suppose or surmise, but this is what Scripture says. Adam was the head of the human race. When he stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. When he sinned, we sinned. Now listen to Romans 5:12. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men because he was the head of all men. He was the representative of all men. Adam stood as the head, the federal head of a whole race. In Adam all die. As we born the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. The first man was of the earth earthy, and he stood for all men. When he fell, we fell. There was imputed to us and imparted to us and reckoned to us and passed down through Adam to us a sinful nature and a sinful standing before God. Now then, in order to save a people out of Adam's race, God, in a covenant of grace, this is what the Bible teaches, in a covenant of grace, instituted a second federation of which Christ Jesus is the head. Now, in Adam, all who are in Adam die. In Christ, all who are in Christ are made alive. By one man, sin, many were made sinners by one man's disobedience. By the obedience of another man were many made righteous. By man came death, by man came the resurrection. The first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christ as the head of the church, and we call the church the family of God, the kingdom of God. We call the church the elect of God. We call the church spiritual Israel. We call the church those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those whose names are written in heaven. And their head is Jesus Christ. And we'll make that as simple as I can, as clear as I can. Adam, one man. Adam, the word Adam means man. Red earth, taken from the earth. God took man. He didn't create but one man. Even Eve came out of Adam. He took a rib from Adam and made the woman. She came out of the man. She was called woman. She came out of the man. God didn't make but one man. He didn't create but one man. There's never been created on this earth but one man, that's Adam. He was created from the earth, and God breathed in him the breath of life. He became a living soul. Every person who's ever walked on this earth came out of that man. He's the first man. He's the head. He's the federal head. He's the headship. And when he stood, the whole race stood in his loins. When he fell, the whole race fell. When he became a sinner, the whole race became a sinner. The only kind of son that he can beget is a sinful son with his nature, with his likeness. Now, God determined to have a people different from that fallen man. And he chose them out of Adam's race, and he instituted and anointed and ordained a living head, another head, Christ. And by Adam's transgression we fell, by Christ's disobedience we were made righteous. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. By man came death, by man came the resurrection. Just two men, two Adams. The Bible calls them two Adams. It said the first man, the first Adam, is of the earth earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. Read 1 Corinthians 15 and tell me who the second Adam is. You know who the first Adam is, it's man. It's the one who was in the Garden of Eden. Who's the second Adam? It's the Lord from heaven. He's the head. And when the God deals with the church, he deals with the head. The head represents the whole body. All right, secondly, Christ as the head of the church is the life of the church. Not only does he represent every believer in the church, but he's the life of the church. A man can't live without his head. I can live without this arm. I can live without an ear. I can live without an eye. I can live without a leg, but I can't live without a head. The life is in the head. And even so, Christ is our life. The Scripture says your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, he's the head of the church, and being the head of the church, he's the life of the church. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Where the head is, there the body's got to be. You don't have a head and a body unless they're both in the same place. And Christ being the head is the life of the church. And where the head is, the body is. You say, well, he's seated at the right hand of God. Paul said in Ephesians, we're seated with him in the heavenlies, seated with Christ. In 1 John 5, it says, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the head hath life. He that hath not the head, the Son, doesn't have life. It doesn't matter what he claims, professes. He doesn't have life. Christ is the life. And then thirdly, Christ as the head of the church is the chief glory of the church. I said this to our congregation recently. I said, you go into a person's home. You got pictures of their children and grandchildren. What kind of pictures are they? Well, they're not any pictures of feet. No picture of a big hand up there on the wall. Pictures of heads. When we take a picture of someone, we take a picture of the head. And when we point to that head, we say, that's so-and-so. That's so-and-so. Well, that's just his head. Well, that's the glory of the person, the head. That's where the glory is. And when you make a carving, you make a carving of the head. And even so, all that is glorious and beautiful about the church is because of the beauty and glory of her head, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. He's the glory and beauty of the church. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 9. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He's the glory of the church. He's the beauty of the church. He's the head of the church. And I tell you this, when you put a crown on a monarch, you don't put it on his hand or on his knee. Put on his head. And that's where the crown, on his head are many crowns. He's the beauty and glory of the church because he's the head of the church. And when the Father sees him, he sees us. It's like when you come into the house and see a picture of a person on the wall and they say, there's my son, or there's my daughter, or there's my friend, or there's my wife, or there's my husband. There's the whole person. But you're only looking at the head. But the head represents the whole body. And the head is where the glory and the beauty is. All right, quickly. Fourthly, Christ as the head of the church is the Lord and the King and the absolute sovereign in the church. I hear people talk about the church being democratic and one man, one vote, and all this sort of thing, but really and truly, Christ is the King. He's the sovereign Lord. You know, this body, it's from the head that all orders are issued to different parts of the body. I'm using my hand to illustrate and to make points, but my head's telling my hand what to do. My head is telling my eyes what to do. My head is telling my eyes to look down here or look up there or read this scripture or say this. I'm getting all my orders from up here. My feet aren't giving any orders to this body. And my hands are not giving any orders. My head's giving the orders. And even so, the church is subject to the will of Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the King. He's the sovereign. He's the supreme ruler of the church. From Him we get our life. From Him we get our commandments. And we're pleased with them. From Him we get our orders. From Him we get our doctrines. And from Him we get our authority. From the head. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And being the head, He's the indisputable, absolute, unconditional, total sovereign. In all things, in creation, providence, and salvation, we bow to our Lord, we worship our Lord, we adore our Lord. Holy and reverent is His name. He is the great and only potentate. But I ask this question in the fifth place. Who but Christ can be the head of the church? The Father made Him the head, and anyone who claims to be the head of anything called a church is an imposter. Because the Father said, I have set my King on my holy hill of Zion. And everybody listening to me that knows anything about the Bible knows Zion is the church. And He said, God the Father said, I've put my King on the holy hill of Zion. And our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority is given unto me, to no one else. In John 17, 2, He said, I have all power over all flesh because, Father, You gave it to me. So who but Christ can be the head of the church? The Father decreed it, the Father designed it, and the Father made Him the head. And then He purchased that right. He bought that right. It says in Romans 14:9, to this end, Christ both died and rose again, that He might be Lord of the dead and the living, of those in glory and those on the earth, of the unsaved and the saved. He bought that right. Not only did the Father make Him Lord and sovereign and ruler and King, but when He went to the cross, He bought that right. It's like the thief who died on the cross next to Him said, Lord, You're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom, the kingdom, the only kingdom. And when He comes into that kingdom, He comes in as the absolute King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Remember Me when you come into Your kingdom. He's the head of the church. He's the ruler. He's the only one who has the right. He bought that right. And then watch this. He's the only one who deserves to be the head because He's the only one who can do for the church what needs to be done. He's able. Listen to the scripture. Abraham believed God that he was able to do all that He promised. All that He promised. No one else can do that. There's not another creature in the universe who can do all that He promises. I can't, you can't, no one can, but Christ can. And then He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. Doesn't matter, to the uttermost. He's able because He has who He is and because of what He did, because of where He is at the right hand of God. And not only that, but He's able to keep us from falling. None of His sheep shall fall away. Because He's able to keep them. And then it says this, He's able to present us faultless, holy, without blame before His Father with exceeding glory. No one else can do that. And then watch this, He's able to raise us from the dead. Now let me tell you something. I hear these fellas talking about their power to do different miracles. Nobody has ever been able to go out to the cemetery where a man has laid in the grave 4 days, his eyes dried up, his veins collapsed, his lungs fallen in, his heart already decayed, his body already stinketh, and to say in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and that man came out of the grave. That's power. That's power. That's the immutable, infinite power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the head of the church, and he's the only one who has that right and that power to say to the dead, live. Now watch this. Yet let it be said that our Lord Jesus not only is the head of the church, but he's the head of all things. Oh, he's the absolute monarch of this universe. It says, the Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hands. It says, thy throne, O God, is forever. Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now I'm reading this in closing. Listen carefully. God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Christ, are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the church. That's who we're talking about. He's the head of the church. He has all authority. For by him and for him and through him were all things created, and he is the head of the church. Now, I have this message on a cassette tape. It's called Christ, Head of the Church. I have another one that I preached last week on Worthy is the Lamb. And these two messages on one cassette tape. If you'd like to have it, you get the address now given by the announcer and write to them and send $2 and we'll mail you this tape. Worthy is the Lamb, Christ the Head of the Church. Try to join us next week at the same time. Until then, I bid you a pleasant good day.